Welcome to the Crude Life Podcast, because sometimes when you're making money, life can just be crude. Hello again, my name is Jason Spies. I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and talk show host, and on today's episode, I talk with Steve Holen, Watford City Superintendent, out in the Bakken area. They're in the hot zone, Watford City is, and what an incredible interview. What's going on in Watford City right now is being documented for history books. I'm telling you, folks, history books will be talking about the Bakken evolution, and Watford City will have its own chapter. What's going on out there with the school district is unbelievably monumental. They had kids using like porta potties and temporary things as they built this beautiful new school out there, an event center. And then to top it off, this small community, this emerging community, went from Class B to Class A. Now they got a whole new ripple effect of taxes and travel and all these other things that incorporate the growing pains of an emerging community. That's Steve Holen, Watford City Superintendent, in just a moment. But first, I want to take this moment to thank our sponsors. And if you could do me a favor, go to thecrudelife.com, click on the sponsors link, check them out, see if there's anybody you can thank or do business with. They keep interviews like this free. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
When I think of the world that I want to live in, it's with people that care, that take risks, that reinvent themselves, reinvent their organizations, reinvent their industries. And Eric's a model citizen for that. He's trying to solve problems. He's trying to bring people into those solutions. He does incredibly well, but he lives generously. I think a community filled with people like Eric that are solving problems, giving it their best, and creating an environment for others to lead and soar and succeed, that's the place I want to live. And so Eric's the type of person that's in my community, and I'm really grateful for that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Steve Holen, Superintendent of Schools for McKenzie County School District Number 1.
Perfect. And let's start off with a little bit of history here. How long have you, A, been in Watford City, and B, been at your current position?
Well, I've been in Watford City since 2005. Which is when I took this current position as superintendent of school. So I'm in my 13th year, I believe, somewhere in that ballpark.
And the reason I asked that, of course I knew the answer, but because you were there pre-boom, and then you kind of got into the boom, and then we'll get into the outhouses in a minute or two. But I just wanted to maybe ask you, now that you've had a second to breathe, looking back at the last 13 years, how would you describe that to somebody at a cocktail party this holiday season?
I guess to some degree a story of extremes, perhaps. In 2005 when I was hired, it was very much a declining enrollment situation, and long-term planning involved consolidating two buildings into one, hanging on to staff, working through retirements to reduce reductions in force, and looking at bleak numbers of preschool students, going into possibly single digits. So those census numbers were pretty bleak. So it was very much coming into a situation of community hanging on and finding a way to survive, I guess. And then, in 4 or 5 years after that, then dealing with the extreme opposite, which was, rapid growth and the student increases were starting to come in very strong. So it was really seeing both sides of a story, which is interesting. I mean, they have a lot of similarities in the challenges because they were pretty drastic. I mean, when it was starting to decline, it was going fast. And obviously when it started going the other way, it went fast as well. So, and then there's a small period of there of kind of stabilization as the slowdown hit, and now we're getting back into a growth mode. So not many things happen out here that are kind of halfway. It seems like it's a little bit extreme one way or the other in what we deal with things.
One of the things I always kind of tried to relate to the Bakken with myself so I could help understand it was Sometimes in life, I overcorrect myself. For example, you know, I haven't gone to the gym for a few years, and all of a sudden, now I'm going 2-3 times a day, just overcorrecting. And well, that's a little bit too hard on my body. So eventually, maybe I'm down to, you know, 5 days a week type of a thing. And that's what a lot of people thought happened out in the Bakken, was they kind of went into this right-sizing mode, this downturn, this a number of different things where a lot of the cities came out and said, hey, this gives us a chance to breathe. Well, then you take a look at Watford City, and they've never really had a chance to breathe. And the reason for this interview is because, obviously, when Class A football was going on and that sort of thing, I'm hearing Watford City's name in whatever Division I is in North Dakota now. My goodness, how is it that your school district is already Division I or the top level in sports? To me, that says enrollment numbers. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big change for us. And that's forthcoming in next year. We're eligible for Class A in all sports, basketball, volleyball, and so forth. You know, in football, we're double A. We've been in that for a little while, but it's good. It's a major change for us. I think it's a major change for the community to that mindset. You know, Watford City for decades has been a Class B school district, you know, a strong, good-sized Class B school district, and to make that transition, I think it's a little bit apprehensive of a lot of people, but, you know, we're kind of excited about it, but it does tell the story. I mean, you know, looking at 512 students in 2008 and looking at now about 1,540 students K through 12, and, you know, looking at class size in the kindergarten of 150. And, you know, when I came out in 2005, you know, at the elementary school, we might have had about 220, 230 kids in K through 6. And now you have a grade level of 150 with 7 sections. It's sometimes you have to take a step back and look at that and kind of, you know, appreciate some of the things that we went through, because you get caught in the moment, you just kind of do what you need to do. But very dramatic changes, and to go to Class A next year is, you know, we're trying to develop a mindset for it and get the community excited about it, because I think we are viewing it as a big challenge. But yeah, we're going to have you know, schedules of games now with Minot and Bismarck are coming to Watford City, and not, you know, Killdeer and Tioga. So.
Well, to me, you know, this is one of the things that interests me, the Bakken, is that this is going to be printed in history books for generations after I'm long gone. And people will be studying the Bakken and the evolution and just how this whole thing completely reshaped not only Western North Dakota, but even the eastern side as well. And when we're looking at Watford City, it's going to have its own chapter. I mean, when you're talking about, yeah, it's the core and all this other stuff, but just the sheer increase of population and the outhouses to when you guys were building the new school last year, I got to revisit that a little bit, because that to me should have its own subchapter in the history books to talk about. That was the transition of the gritty North Dakota way to this beautiful new infrastructure. To me, that was a real symbolism of how North Dakota is going to shift the mindset of quality of life. Yeah, we can use it. We can use an outhouse whenever we want, and we will use it when we have to, but look at what we can do when we sacrifice and pay things off. Am I talking rubbish here, or do you kind of follow me?
No, I mean, I think it's a good point, and it was definitely a process. You know, when things started, and it was kind of getting a sense of, many were apprehensive that, you know, with any kind of a, quote, boom, there's a bust, and everybody was really apprehensive of how careful are we now when things are going well with the energy industry, and do you build, and as you mentioned, do you overcorrect and overbuild, or do you not react quick enough? You know, all those discussions come into play when this starts to happen. Some people want you to move quickly and address things, but we did. We went with temporaries. We went with options that we were trying to be somewhat conservative. And then the second time point is to try to plan ahead effectively. We didn't want to make choices that were reactionary. We tried to be looking forward that, you know, what if we hit this growth, make sure we don't undo anything, because when you get to major construction projects, it's not like you can, oops, you know, we shouldn't have done that. No, let's go build this. You're kind of stuck with what you have. So it was a little bit of patience to take a step back and say, let's plan out a long-term facility plan. Let's make sure we make choices that are good choices. So there was a little bit of that transition where we had the temporaries. We had, you know, 14 trailer houses on our elementary school property housing teachers. There were things that just aren't typically seen, but they were temporary. We kept a kind of a positive attitude, tried to move forward, and then, you know, worked toward getting this, you know, infrastructure in place. So now we have a new high school, and we have some of those things that came out of that. So, but you're right, it was a really unique process. I think Watford was a little bit unique in that as well. And it's really a transition of a community going from kind of that small town feel or otherwise into getting into more of a larger community mindset, you know, where your peers are now more of your Williston's and Sydney's and Dickinson's, and just kind of a different thought process that goes into that. But it was a real interesting journey. But I think we did what we had to do, and Watford's always been good about that. It buckles down. It you know, solves its problems. It does what it needs to do, and we're getting some of the benefits of that now.
And what's happening there, to me, it sounds like, you know, you have the trinity of progress, which is the local community, the state officials or the government and industry all working in the same mindset. They're on the same page, because you're right. I mean, a lot of those unique circumstances not only wouldn't have been allowed, but they would have been kind of sensationalized in the media. And really, everybody did a very good job of just respecting what was happening out there, because, again, the community, the state officials, and the industry were all on the same page. So from a reporter standpoint, there's no news there. They're just having good little progress and that sort of thing. Did that ever dawn on you guys that, you know, nobody was like pointing out that, you know, it's in sub-zero temperatures and we got these temporaries out there and all that other stuff?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I think that's one thing that the take out of that process was the collaboration piece. And it was with the state level, there's no question about it, that they were good to us in that. The industry always worked with us. But our political subdivisions, the county, the city, and the school, you know, came together and worked together. And sometimes you don't always see that, where it becomes territorial and everybody's doing their own thing. But, you know, we had multiple collaborative issues with employee housing, with different issues that we came together with the event center right next to the high school. That was a collaborative project with the, you know, the city and the school district, and the county got involved. The only way to get through those tough situations is to have some resources and to be able to work together, because it's easy in the fray of all that to start looking at your own things and just take care of yourselves. But there's no way we could have made the progress in some of those things without that collaborative piece. You know, you battle a little bit of perceptions at the time when, you know, it was, people were deeming this as a Wild West, and it was a headline of all the things happening. But you're right, the core of people that you worked with were very stable, and the communication was solid. So there was never a panic in most of this. It was just a steady resolve to solve the issues.
Steve Olin, Watford City Superintendent. We're talking about some of the unprecedented growth happening in Western North Dakota still to this day, to where they're going from Class B to Class A in sports, which really symbolizes quite a bit of things out there that goes well beyond just athletics. It has to go with births. It has to go with school expectancy sizes, populations, that sort of thing. And so Watford City is just this amazing historical event happening, really, with the state. And I do want to ask you about a little talk in turkey here a little bit. Let's tax talk, because I was the voice of the Killdeer Cowboys for one season. I think it was back in 2012. I was out there in Dickinson doing some live radio, interviewing people for the Bakken, that sort of thing. And I just happened to have some experience. They needed somebody, so I did it. And I know what it costs to travel a little bit. And that's just out on the western side of things. You start incorporating some of these other Class A towns in there, your guys' travel budget, I imagine, is going to increase. And a few other things here. Are we talking a tax burden to the people? Is the state going to help out here? Where are we at with the budget on this?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, in our AA football year, it would be a prime example. You know, our away football games were in Jamestown, Valley City, Turtle Mountain, and Grafton. So, you know, it was enormous. I mean, your average trip is 4 or 5 hours. And I think that's one thing people were concerned about if we're moving up to Class A. You know, how does it impact education? You know, how late are our students out there on the roads and during the wintertime and so forth? But, you know, that is something we're going to have to adjust to, and we have been. You know, tax burden is a good question. It certainly was, you know, and the rapid nature of things happened. You know, the tax base didn't have time to catch up. That's really when we worked with the state on impact funds and so forth. You know, we could not fund our high school project on its own. We didn't have, we had a cap on our debt due to our property valuation that we had to overcome. So we had to get really unique in the funding of our high school project. So there were just things that, because the growth was so rapid, the mechanisms weren't there to deal with that. And we had to get, you know, very creative with it. It's still ongoing. And, you know, we work with our public, you know, our valuations have increased. So that helps with our tax base. That helps our local taxpayer a little bit. They can spread that burden out more so with the commercial and utility valuations that we now have. So, but it is an ongoing concern. And for us, as you mentioned, Class A, you know, that means, you know, we want to expand our curriculum. We want to offer more programs. Kind of the expectation of, you know, okay, you're a Class A school now. You should be having this. You should be offering this class. And, you know, we travel here. We do this. So it is. And, you know, our staffing alone, we went from 42 teachers, you know, 7-8 years ago now to 105. And, you know, all those things start to come around with your budget and what you're working with. And now it's an over $20 million budget that was, you know, $5 million not that long ago. So we're trying hard not to put all that burden on the taxpayer. Been fairly successful at this point. But, you know, we also have other possible building projects on the road. We do a lot of demographic study that shows that, you know, we're growing and it's probably not going to stop anytime soon. You know, we're going to still see growth over the next 5-10 years. There's going to be other infrastructure that we need to put in place. So we're trying to plan for that at the same time and not overburden people currently with what we have to work with. So, but you're right, it's a generational impact. And, you know, Lynn Helms always says, you know, this is something the grandchildren of our grandchildren are going to be dealing with, is the impact of the Bakken on North Dakota. So, it's a delicate balance financially. You know, we're starting to turn the corner, plan ahead, but, you know, the impacts continue. It's not like it was, you know, something that happened 3-4 years ago. We still deal with things now with the growth.
Now, I was kind of told that you guys were kind of forced to go up to Class A due to some kind of either births or high school enrollment or projections or something like that. Is that kind of the case, or what was the reason for going to Class A?
Well, it's the cutoff, High School Activity Association. If you have more than 325 students in your 9 through 12 grades, then you have to make the move up to Class A for those sports. So we crossed that 325 threshold last year by a fairly significant amount. This year we're well past that. I think we're about 380 students in our 9 through 12, so we're well above the 325, and then next year we're going to be probably well over 400. It wasn't an elective choice. It was a matter of, you know, we finally hit that target number, and we had a two-year process to transition. We're in the year two of that transition now, and next year we're fully in that division. So we did see it coming. I think some of the community were hopeful that maybe it would just stay underneath that number, but we knew the day would come, so we've been trying to prepare for it.
Well, and that was my next question, really. And we're kind of just wrapping up here. Steve Holand, Watford City Superintendent, talking about their move from Class B to Class A in sports, and just kind of how that signifies what's going on out there in the oil and gas community, how they're continuing to grow. And so any of these stories you might read about downturn and a lot of these other things, it ain't happening in Watford City. They're chugging along pretty well out there. And in fact, they're moving up in sports. And the reason I guess I'm bringing this up is you've mentioned that, you know, you guys were a little bit hesitant about this move and that sort of thing, but at the end of the day, it's kind of mandated. So it does send some ripples either through taxes or hiring or transportation costs, or maybe you got to get your own maintenance guy now. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that, is there any talks amongst the politicians or anything that they should revisit that number to maybe to see if it's an accurate number still, or should we bump it up, or maybe we should move it down a little bit because we got these new LNG trucks or so. I don't know. Is anybody talking, I guess?
Yeah, it's a good question. There's been talk, as there has been for many years, about, you know, the three-class system. And I think legislatively there was even a study proposed that would encourage high school activities to go back and revisit a three-class system. And you know, we're open to that thought process, you know, of which, you know, three classes of work. I think football's been a good example of, you know, when they broke into, which would be four classes there. But I think for the most part it's been fairly successful as far as ensuring competition and making sure of quality of games and opportunities for schools to reach a state tournament or otherwise. So, you know, we're coming into this though with a positive attitude. And, you know, one thing I don't want, you know, people, well, we're kind of begrudging going to Class A. There's only way to make one way to make that transition, and it's to go all out and make it the best you can make it. And so, you know, we hope to rise to the challenge. We're kind of eager for that opportunity to play at that level. You know, we're trying to adjust and make sure our programs are ready for it. There'll be some transition. You know, the bulk of our athletes and our students are at the lower level still. You know, we have 75 seniors and 150 kindergartners. So our lowest grades are still the high school grades, and as those middle school, elementary grades move through the system, we'll have more and more athletes probably to pull from. So, you know, the first years we're going to do the best we can, but you know, I would overall, I think at this point now we're just at the level of excitement, and how we're going to make that transition, and you know, the huge challenge of, you know, stepping in, probably being an underdog in many situations, and maybe take advantage of that role, and just really see what we can do. And hopefully our programs, they have to evolve and grow because the competition is going to be better. And, you know, that's going to be overall good for our programs too when we play those quality teams and see what that's like. So, you hope that they always look at some kind of a class system readjustments. I think that might be necessary. But in the short term, we're really, you know, positive and optimistic about this transition and kind of, you know, attack it with everything we got.
Final question for Steve Holen, Watford City Superintendent, and kind of when I was doing a little bit of a background search, of course, I saw that you were on the Economic Development Corporation throughout some, I saw 2008, something like that. You were had a leadership role there. And so I think this last question is going to make more sense to you with your economic and civic background, which is to me, and the reason why I called you on this story is, this symbolizes a commitment from the oil and gas industry to the Bakken and North Dakota one more time, saying that we're going to be around here for the next 20, 30 years. You've got Lynn Helms going around talking about it's a five-generation play. We're donating money here left and right to help people with their infrastructure updates. And now, you know, Watford City here, which is our core place, is going up. Another thing in school, they're going to have a ripple effect that's going to go through there. But here we are to stay. Is that kind of the case? You're in ground zero. Are you seeing that on a day-to-day basis, on the boots on the ground, that the commitment is there, like they're showing through everything else?
Yeah, I think we are now. And, you know, and that's pivotal because I think, you know, that quality of life issue, when this first happened, you would get some, you know, business plans of, you know, 3 to 5 years and some hesitancy of, you know, businesses or otherwise, you know, coming in and establishing roots because, again, that fear of that bus dynamic really kind of driving a lot of business models. But I think that has changed now. I think you're seeing kind of that settling down, that this is going to be a long-term play, that the service industry really coming in and establishing roots. And I think that's pivotal because I think as we make this transition to Class A and as we look at our future with school enrollments and so forth, the quality of life is an important aspect for the community. To attract families, and then importantly for us is to have them stay. You know, the in-and-out migration that happened in the early part of the boom was really difficult to deal with our staff, with our programs. You know, a lot of the students weren't engaged in activities because they didn't know if they're going to be here long enough to really see that through. So our participation levels were quite low. So in that whole big economic development piece, it's really important for the school district because then, you know, you want families to come. You want them to feel good about where they are, have services available, you know, have that quality of life piece solved so that they do have a opportunity to stay and to make roots, and then they're using the school system, using the hospital and all those services. So yeah, I think, you know, that's been the biggest part. I think we're seeing that evolve now. I know during the slow downturn, you know, it was really a lot of hesitancy, but we're seeing a lot of that enthusiasm come back. We're seeing new businesses come to town, and I think that really helps put Watford City in a good spot because, you know, you kind of want to be a destination location that people will come and they can do all their services here and they can establish those roots. And it is important for us for that long-term consistency, you know, that helps our programs, that we now have families coming for 20, 30-year jobs, you know, know, generational jobs that they plan to stay. They're not here for a few years and then go back home. They're selling their home. They're buying a home here. All those things help our planning so that we know we have a consistent student base. And you know, Wofford City is going to be around for a while. You know, that amidst all of this, there might be a little bit upturn. There might be a slight downturn. That Wofford City isn't going to blow away, that we're going to be here and still have services in a community that's vibrant. So I think that change is positive, and that's really good to see.
And that was Steve Holen, Wofford City Superintendent. To listen to this podcast or other podcasts, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our weekly Crude Life newsletter. We're also on social media. Check out our Facebook and Twitter pages. Those links, of course, are available at thecrudelife.com. And once again, I'd like to thank our Crude Life Media Network sponsors. And I'd ask you folks, if you can go to our website, thecrudelife.com, click on the sponsors page, take a look at, see if there's anybody you know, see if there's anybody that you could reach out to, see if there's anybody that, you know what, that you might be able to do some business with. And the reason I ask you is they keep interviews like this free. So I thank all the sponsors that continue to contribute to allow the Crude Life Media Network to happen. Nobody to tell me if I should die or live, 'cause I'm gonna be me. It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
He is a person in this market and now in markets across the country with Hatch Coaching that is revolutionizing the way people approach the business. He's reinventing the way people look at the people model. That's why he brings in hundreds of people from all over the country who are trying to figure out how to do what he's doing in their market.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
And that's it for this episode of the Crude Life Interview. My name is Jason Spies. Till next time, be happy, and remember, sometimes life can just be crude. We'll see you next time, folks. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.